This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Spiegel of this afternoon show doing the first Score broadcast of the year in Pat Hughes's place. He did a great job once again, but he got himself into a nightmare scenario. It sure sounded to me, it would appear that he had forgotten the engineer's name.
It's a crazy, crazy baseball world. Thank you so much to our engineer who did a great, great job as he always does. Thank you so much. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh.
Second thank you, hoping that the name's going to come to him on the second thank you.
What's his first name?
You're supposed to know that.
Sorry. Is that offensive?
We know the engineer.
Yeah, I think
Walt.
Walt has been doing...
Walt Ellis.
He's been helping visiting radio, I think, since I was a White Sox board op back when we had the White Sox. Speaks. Come on.
You should know his name.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here? You should know his name. You have to ask Billy Russo what his name is? What are we doing here?
I mean, this is a guy who was in the military. I mean, he demands respect.
The guy you're looking for is an ex-commando. He killed 16 Chechen rebels single-handed.
He was with the Interior Ministry.
You're not going to believe this. He killed 16 Czechoslovakians. The guy was an interior decorator.
His house looked like
Man, it was great. But no, I enjoyed, like I said, I heard the majority.
No, I did a great job.
He did.
as we bash him right as the radio show begins.
Well, just for the one thing, not for his performance in the game, just for so disrespectfully not remembering the name of the man who got him on the air.
Thank you so much to our engineer who did a great, great job.
You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, say my name.
Walt. Together. Walt is the man.
You're damn right.
The official adventures of...
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Dude, dudette, and dudes, I had so many names rolling through my head during the course of these Cubs games.
It's good to have fun with names.
It is, Pat. It is, Pat, but you got to remember them all. There was a moment where, like, all right, who's on the bases? Which left fielder did that ball just go through the wickets of? Who are these people? And so, Walt, the wonderful engineer Walt, I stand here right now. You might have mentioned it. In that open, I still can't tell you Walt's last name. Right now, right here. I can't. I got too many names.
I did say it in the open.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I did.
And if I heard it, then it left my head again. It's not Walt Bellamy. He played in the NBA. It's not Walt Hazard. I believe he also played in the NBA. It's not Walt Frazier, Walt Disney. I still can't tell you his last name. Can
or
you tell
Walt
me?
Walt Weiss. Yeah.
Walt Weiss.
Since we're doing baseball.
Let's go.
It's Ellis.
Walt Ellis.
Walt Hriniak.
No, it's Ellis.
I had a better shot at Walt Hriniak. As you know, Danny, I got a better shot. Well, my apologies to Walt Ellis. It's just, there's too many, man. There's too many people. Too many people.
No, I feel your pain. Yeah. Covering many sports and also having many side jobs.
Right?
Like, so there are people who I've worked with at stations like the whole time, and I'm like, I'm really sorry. I don't have enough room in my brain.
All right, exactly.
I am not in the math and sciences, okay? This is all I got.
And Shane, you said it right. At a second point, like, I brought it up, like, hoping that the name would come to me or hoping that my outstanding partner, Ron Coomer, would just jump in and give me the old Walt Ellis.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Coom will join us next hour here on The Score. We're going to have some fun today. It's Spiegs and Layla Rahimi here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. AJ Pruszynski later on at 4 o'clock on the White Sox sale and more. Dan Hayes in the 5 o'clock hour on that same issue. And that's where we ought to start, Layla, is this idea. The dream has always been, especially when you've been owned, your team has been owned by, say, a corporation like the Tribune Company, or right, or like somebody who's just out to do a bait and switch or a buy and flip like Sam Zell,
or say you're trying to move your franchise from Oakland to Las Vegas and you're slowly inching east,
right, and you're going to Sacramento now, or if you are the White Sox and you're owned by a guy who clearly has drawn lines in the sand of what he's going to spend for a variety of reasons. The dream is that a rich hobbyist emerges and buys your team and does what Steve Cohen is doing with the Mets. Like, who are the rich hobbyists? When I use that phrase, and not a guy named Rich Hobbyist, I've never met that person, but
different from our engineer Rich Wyatt.
Completely, and his nephews, which apparently is a thing.
It's basketball playing nephews.
Right, exactly. Who's the archetypal rich hobbyist for you?
All right, to me, it's Cuban, because I covered the Mavericks when Mark Cuban had bought the team, and I worked. I had, of course, just gotten hired as an intern. I got paid after he sold Broadcast.com to Yahoo. So I got to work with all the new internet millionaires and all that. So I got in on that early in Dallas. So that was the name that I thought of when I first heard the news over the weekend.
Guy who loves sports, guy who loves basketball.
Changed the culture of the team. Uh-huh. Suddenly started spending money, and you see what happened. They won a title.
And you remember, it wasn't just money that he spent on players. It was infrastructure. I remember, like, every locker room suddenly had a PlayStation and a screen.
Everything got renovated. The practice facility also was improved. Like, there was, he just cared. And the players knew he cared about them. You know, it was a, at the time, it was 180. You know, there were players on that Mavericks team, or those Mavericks teams, who didn't even have, like, NBA experience a lot of the time. Like, a significant amount of them on a roster, and he totally changed all of that. Now you see what happened. Now he's out of it, and you see what happened after he got out of being the majority owner of the team.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And for me, like, a little older, I go back to Steinbrenner. When George Steinbrenner took over the Yankees and was owning the Yankees and just playing with them in the 70s and challenging the economics of the entire league and showing you that he would do anything that he could possibly do to try to win a World Series, and they won a whole bunch of them. You know, like, that's the dream. Justin Ishbia owning the White Sox, this is the embodiment of the dream. I want to throw open the phone lines at 312-644-6767 and ask White Sox fans if they've fully kind of wrapped their head around what this could be.
Right.
Because what this guy is, and I want to take you to an article that Brian Hamilton wrote in The Athletic when Justin Ishbia donated $10 million to Michigan State Athletics last September. And he did so with baseball in mind. Like, this is not just, I'm rich, I want to own a team. This is, I'm rich, I want to own a baseball team. I want, because here's him to Brian Hamilton from September after giving $10 million to Michigan State Athletics in the name of himself and his wife, specifically aimed at refurbishing and upgrading the school's baseball stadium. Okay? Quote, "The beauty of baseball is that it's not about a star or two. It's truly a team sport, and it's a team sport over a long period of time. It's a grind, and it's a discipline. It's life. Life is the discipline of doing the same thing over and over again consistently. And that's what the long summer of baseball is all about. Who's this guy?
Uh-oh, he's somebody who loves Matt Spiegel. This is so your baseball vibes, I mean, that's, babe.
But it's yours, too. I know yours is
romantic about baseball.
And comping baseball to life and, like, when the at-bat doesn't go your way, you get another at-bat in 45 minutes if you're lucky, you know? And if the game doesn't go your way, you have no choice. You have another game tomorrow. And even if it does go your way, you have no choice. You have another game tomorrow.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
You're talking about a billionaire who gets it, who freaking gets it, and what that could mean. If you, the White Sox fan, I have wrapped your head around, or if you haven't, let's talk about what it would mean to have a rich hobbyist like Justin Ishbia take over your team and how it could transform your existence. 312-644-6767.
I also want to say this. This is a guy who we know is investing in the city. Say what you want about Tom Ricketts saying he put money into the team, but he invested in the city, right? He put his money into the city of Chicago, doing the real estate that he's done, all the deals on the north side. This is somebody who is building a huge home on the North Shore. He wants to be here. He's passionate about baseball and owning a team. You saw what his brother Matt did with the Suns and what they're doing. There's a lot of fan-friendly incentives there. This is somebody who could change the culture. But the biggest piece of it to me, and I know we're up against a break, is also the stark contrast of knowing who's commissioner of Major League Baseball right now. You need people who love the game in ownership roles, because I don't necessarily know that the commissioner can take that stance right now, as we've seen.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the commissioner is just a wonk for the owners, as we know, and having more owners who actually love the game and
certain
get it
owners
yes would be
not even all the owners
but I'm glad you bring up Ricketts too, because as we will take your calls on this, Tom Ricketts was the rich hobbyist dream. And I know people are out. A lot of Cub fans are angry and bothered at Tom Ricketts right now. But if you look at it and you look at the transition from Tribune and Zell to Ricketts, every fan base in America would sign up for the transition that has taken place.
I mean, it's just like with the Mavericks. Cuban got him a championship. He brought the championship to Dallas, and then he got out, and now we've seen a change. But you have to at least take the step forward to try.
Want to hear from you, the Sox fans, and hear from you about this archetype of an owner that might be coming to White Sox Nation. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's Spiegs and Layla on Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
You know, there's one question someone even had to me is, like, in baseball-wise, is would he start pumping money in before, you know, he takes control? Did they bring him in, and is he going to start spending money? And I don't even mean on players, but, like, obviously the stadium stuff. You guys had the soundbite about that. You know, is he brought in to help, because, you know, to bring money to that? Listen, the guy's worth supposedly around $5 billion. He's built, like you said, he's building a house. The price of his house supposedly is more expensive than any contract the White Sox have ever given.
That is The Athletic's John Greenberg, who broke the story over the weekend. He joined the morning show with Mully and Haw. By the way, keep listening for your chance to win your way into our Cubs season opener watch and listen party with Mully and Haw at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of a studio audience for Cubs versus Dodgers in Tokyo, starting at 5 a.m. on March 18th. That's awesome. Then stick around for a special broadcast of Mully and Haw after the conclusion of the Cubs broadcast. That's really cool. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. We'll be giving an opportunity away, right? In the 5 o'clock hour, do we have a soundbite that we're going to play in honor of that? No? Okay, good.
Let's create one.
No, we don't need to.
What about a duck quacking or something?
Do you want to quack like a duck in the 5 o'clock hour?
Let's do it.
All right. So
quack.
We will quack like a duck in the 5 o'clock hour. Is that cool? Can we get that past legal? All right, good. So listen for the duck quack. Shane, write it down so we don't forget, because now I've said it. Now we actually have to do it.
Could just be me saying quack.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to need a full-on quack. I think Tanny should be the one quacking like a duck.
I
disagree on that one.
I'm not surprised.
How about we just hear a Pat Hughes drop and we'll call it a day?
No,
we've got to isolate Spieg saying full-on quack. That's got to be used for something.
Hi, everybody.
Tanny, hi, Dr. Quacking. Nick.
So we were talking about the idea of a rich hobbyist buying the White Sox with Justin Ishbia. And it's amazing how quickly people respond, you know?
If you are potentially thinking about owning a team, you have already met ire.
Before we go, here's some textures. Before we go kissing the butts of billionaires, what could possibly go wrong there? I'm curious to know how many people are just happy it's a sign that the days of Jerry Reinsdorf are almost at an end. Of course, that's the backdrop of the whole thing. But you can't be happy about a new owner for even a minute. You can't. It's not kissing the butts of a billionaire to talk about the turn that a franchise makes when a rich hobbyist actually buys the team and gives a crap.
Okay, what were the signs that were taken out of the ballpark last year? What were the chants? I'm sorry, how many times have we heard sell the team?
But you're only allowed to want the team sold. You're not allowed to be happy about the possibility of a new owner.
You want to say sell the team, but you don't want to sell the team?
You don't want a new owner, though. Because they're going to be a problem. Here's another one. Hey, Spiegs, when Reinsdorf was Ishbia's age, couldn't he have been labeled a rich hobbyist? I would temper your enthusiasm, considering almost every one of these guys turns out to be the same greedy and money-driven. All right, so I should temper the enthusiasm. I should pump the brakes on this excitement.
Steve Cohen is greedy and money-driven?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he's spending a lot of his money on the Mets.
I mean, we're just supposed to skip the part where Tom Ricketts did win a World Series, where Mark Cuban did win a title.
Yeah, or the part where Jerry Reinsdorf did win a title.
I mean, he was a rich hobbyist, and now his time is gone. Find the next one. Jim is in Naperville on 670 The Score. Hello, Jim. Thanks for calling. What's up?
You're welcome. Good afternoon. Spiegs, a couple, three things. I worked for the Ishbia family, not Justin in particular, but his cousins and uncle for several years. Could not be nicer people, but you are putting the emphasis on the end of the word, on the end of the name, and it's not. It's just Ishbia. It's not. There's no affectation there at the end.
Okay.
So, and secondly, the way you're saying rich hobbyist is rubbing me the wrong. The way you're saying rich hobbyist is rubbing me the wrong way a little bit. I'm a Sox fan. I'm excited. Again, I know a little bit of the family. They're very nice people. They treat their employees very well.
What's wrong about the hobbyist? Do you not understand what I'm saying? Tell me what's wrong.
I understand what you're saying. It's sounding more aggressive than I think you think it's out. I don't know. It's not coming across right to me. That's all I'm telling you.
Oh, but, I'm sorry, my friend. Let me tell you what I mean by it.
I get what you mean by it, and I'm excited by it, too. I just, they are rich businessmen who are very good at what they do, the family, the whole family.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't sound like you're respecting that part of it when you just say rich hobbyist.
No, that's
hated that call. I just hung up on him. I'm sorry.
An absolutely terrible read by you, sir. Just a horrific read. Let me explain myself, because maybe clearly he didn't get it. Here's what I mean. The best teams in baseball still sometimes struggle to make actual dollars. What they have to do is trust that the value rising year to year to year is great and will mean that eventually they'll make money off it. But this is the reality of the sport, which maybe you don't get, sir, is that when billionaires say it's not very profitable, what they're saying is that year to year, in terms of their spreadsheets, it might not be profitable. But of course, the valuation's going up. And when they sell, they'll make billions. You can't be worried about that. Steve Cohen isn't worried about losing a couple hundred million dollars during the course of the year. The White Sox lost $100 million last year. You want an owner that doesn't give a crap about year to year what it is on a line item because the value of the franchise is rising. They need to have more money than a family business invested in a baseball team. So they need to be doing this as a hobby. That's what I mean by hobbyist, sir, is that they're actually doing it to have fun and win World Series, and they're not trying to make money. That's the dream. That's what you want, and very few franchises have it. And the Cubs do have it, but they won the World Series once, and now they're kind of pulling back a little bit on what it actually takes, which is a willingness to lose money every single year. And if you don't understand that, then do better research instead of being rubbed the wrong way by me not paraphrasing it in a way that you can take it in, sir.
I think he also thought that you were saying that was his occupation. And it sounds like he was a former employee who, it's nice that he liked working for them. But yeah, I think you're trying to say that is the location of his passion toward the game. That is not his occupation.
You have to love it and want to win to deal with the headaches that actually come with it. Because there are headaches that come with it from a billionaire's perspective. A lot of rich people don't want in on baseball. You better freaking love it or else you're going to sour on it quickly and you probably won't go the extra mile to do what you need to do.
You also now have to compete with the guys who are like that. Like, that's the flip side of this. There's no salary cap. They have to compete against Steve Cohen. They have to compete against the Dodgers. You have to compete against the Habs. Or you're going to face scrutiny from your fans in a city like this.
Yeah.
You know, this is a place where we care. And the fans care. So, like, you're going to have to answer questions. And I appreciate that, you know, Jerry's never afraid of being the villain, and I've always appreciated that about him. He's okay with people criticizing him or having honest opinions about his teams.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the flip side being, perhaps he's setting the team up for the next step. This is shrewd. And it would sound like it would be the best possible scenario, ownership-wise,
you know,
or one of them, for whatever the future is after this.
The texter says, hobbyist can sound like they're not serious about ownership. No, that's a misread. And maybe I take it for granted, the number of times that I've talked about this, that people understand what I'm saying. Hobbyist means that they care more about winning and having fun than they do about a bottom line from year to year. That's the dream. That's the dream. Mark Cuban was so freaking rich that it didn't matter. George Steinbrenner was so freaking rich that it didn't matter. They chased titles. That's the dream. A hobbyist chases winning and titles above using it as a family business and a bottom line.
And again, I think it would just be a really pleasant contrast to the overwhelming attitude we're seeing in all of baseball right now. You know, you don't want baseball itself to be an oligopoly when there's only 30 teams. Mm-hmm. That's not the goal.
Yeah.
When you see the schism among the owners and each other, and then you see what happens, like we saw who made the AL and NLCS. Yeah, if you spend, then you're going to get there.
Yeah, you more than likely will get there. Stay tuned for the 5 o'clock hour when one of us is going to quack like a duck. We're still deciding who quack. That's going to be. Ron Coomer next hour. Let's get back to the baseball on the field. Things that matter on the field from Cubs and Sox for spring training. We do that next on The Score.